B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour, Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, taking you up until 2 o'clock. We're in for Zoe and Beetle today. Full Felger and Maz program comes your way at the top of the hour. All your phone calls, 617-779-0985. Ted, let's get back to where we started earlier today. Sounds like, and I know you're more skeptical of this, but it sounds like, according to the latest reporting from Adam Schefter, and again, I want to get his wording properly here, that the new CBA is not done yet. They're still hammering out negotiations, but I'd be very surprised if there's not a new CBA before the league year. That's according to a source for Adam Schefter. And what would this new CBA entail? And the new league year begins March 18th. What would this new CBA entail? It would entail a 17-game regular season and only a 3-game preseason, still 20 games total, but 17 games regular season that would go into effect after the 2020 season, right? You can't all of a sudden just add another game and screw up your formula for this upcoming football season. What would go into effect? 7 playoff teams. An extra playoff team, one in each conference, the AFC and the NFC. There'd only be one bye team now, as opposed to the 2-bye system that you have. There'd be extra wild card games. Again, one in the AFC, one in the NFC, or broken down as a fan, on wild card weekend, you're now getting 3 wild card games on a Saturday, 3 wild card games on a Sunday. What do the players get back for this give back? Because they're going to be putting their bodies through an extra week, and you know you're watering down the postseason product a little bit. What do the players get back? They get back a larger piece of the pie. They're currently getting 47% total football revenue. How do you keep referring to it?
DGR, designated gross revenue.
Okay.
It's the pie.
So they're getting 47% of the pie now. In this new agreement, they would get up to 48.5%, either a point and a point or a point and a half. If they agree to everything, the 17 games and the playoffs, they get to a point and a half, 48.5%. Still less than half. Split between how many players again?
1,700.
1,700 players, 48.5 compared to the 51.5 split between 32 billionaires. Okay, fine, whatever. As an ex-player, Ted, let's put your player hat on before your fan hat. As an ex-player, how do you feel about this new CBA? Larger cut for the players. You got to play an extra game, 17. Maybe there's an extra playoff berth as well. How do you feel about that as a player?
Okay, I would be split on there. So we're talking about two things here. We're talking about a 17-game season. You're talking about 7 teams now being allowed into the playoffs. Players would have, let's talk about the playoffs first. If they were to add a team from each conference to play on wild card weekend, players would love it. They'd absolutely love it. They'd have zero problem with that whatsoever. It's an extra game for a team. Yeah, it's the playoffs. Guys want, I mean, more, it's, I'm telling you, Adam, I've met players that were so envious that I've won Super Bowls. Like, you want to make your money, you want to put your stamp on this game, but really what you want more than anything is to win a championship. And so it gives another team an opportunity to try and get that. So you won't have any issues from the player standpoint when it comes to adding an extra team in the playoffs. Zero. From a player standpoint, adding a 17th game, I would think nobody would really be on board with that. I don't think the bump in pay, the 1.5% that you would get back in the in the DGR, would be enough to really get guys excited, because it's also a precursor to what?
18 games.
And I think you're going down a very, very slippery
slope.
In
fairness, how many of the current players, though, are worried about actually seeing an 18-game schedule?
That's the problem.
If you only have a 4 or 5 year career, right, the next CBA is probably not going to apply to you. So whatever.
And that's how guys think, and that's why you need leadership at the top to really kind of get these guys to think. Have you heard one player, former, current player, that has said 17 games is a great idea? I haven't heard one. All I've ever heard is...
No, I think they're hearing that, well, more money in my pocket's a good idea. The cap goes up, more money to go around. The $5 billion number that you know is a talking point from the NFL owners, because Schefter's putting it out there. So I think they hear more money and they're like, okay, I'll put my body through an extra game for more money. I mean, I think that, but I don't think any of them think inherently a 17th game is a good idea.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody. I just haven't heard anybody say that.
I mean, if they fall for the stupid thing, you'd know this. They fall for the stupid thing that, well, you're still playing 20 games. We're trading out a preseason game for a regular season game, and you could get hurt in a preseason game. Yeah. If they fall for that, they're idiots.
Yeah, they're total.
But no, I think they just hear. I think they see through that. I think they just hear more money, and that's worth it for an extra game.
Yeah, I just. It was, look, if the players do that, I just think they're just playing right back into the owner's hands again. I just think you're going down a slippery slope when you start adding more games. It's already a very physically, demanding game. I just don't think the bump in pay, these guys get paid way better than I ever got paid. And then I got paid way better than the generations before me. So the money to me right now is insanely good.
So knowing what is in there, an extra playoff game, which you like.
I do like.
An extra playoff team, rather, which you like. And an extra game on the schedule.
I like it from a player standpoint.
Right. So let's stick with that. Extra playoff team, extra game on the schedule, but only a 1.5% bump of the total pie. Are you on board with that as a player? I know you like some of it. You don't like all of it. Do you ultimately do it?
I would say I would vote to not do it.
You would vote no. And you'd be outvoted, it sounds like, from the body here. I as a fan, don't like it. Okay, as a fan, I don't like it. It waters down the postseason. The NFL has a great postseason.
Yeah.
And, I get that there'd be an extra playoff game on Wild Card Weekend, which I do like. I mean, I'm not going to sneeze at more football, even if it's Duck Hodges and Jared Goff, which those would be your extra quarterbacks based on last year. It'd be the Steelers and it'd be the Rams.
Yep.
As a fan, you're watering that down. There's only one bye week, so there's actually less of a race for the bye week. Again, the example I've been using all day, week 17 last year when the Patriots lost to the Dolphins and the Chiefs had to win their game, all of that intrigue is gone, and you're trading it out for Duck Hodges and Jared Goff. So I think watering down the playoffs is a stupid idea long term. I know it's more money for the owners and more football for us, but I do think you're watering it down. Mark Cuban, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. And the 17 games, I don't like that either. I don't. If you want to go to an 18-week schedule and only play 16 games, I've talked about this a couple of times with the added bye, great. I'll take another blacked-out week on my calendar. I don't need another football game. Not another Patriots. I have enough Patriots games. 16 is plenty. I personally don't need a 17th. So I may be in the minority, but as a fan, I don't like either of those things. And I don't like that the players are getting screwed again and the owners continue to make money hand over fist. I also don't like that. So I don't like any of this as a fan. I don't.
I'm going to make one point from a player standpoint, and then I'll go into my fan hat, which I am now a fan, obviously, not a player. My player perspective, when it comes to 17 games, I said no, I would not be on board with adding an extra game on the schedule. Depending on if all you're giving back is 1.5% of the total pie, I'm not on board with it. But if you were to make marijuana legal, if you were to give lifetime
guaranteed contract, lifetime insurance, all these things
lifetime
we were talking about before,
and then make certain PEDs legal, then I would say, okay, you know what, those are big ones.
But they're not going to get any of those. I don't think. I mean, maybe there's a lot we're missing here, and I'm sure the players are going to get more, but I don't think they're getting that.
I would only be okay with a 17 game schedule if you gave me two or three of the things I've highlighted already as a give back plus the 1.5% that they're currently saying they will give back.
What if they said, screw all that, we'll give you 50%?
That's a big one.
I mean, and again, they're not going to, but at least that'd be 50-50.
3%.
That's still too much for the owners, by the way, but at least it's 50-50. At least you say, you get your half, we get ours.
Owners make more than the players. That's a head scratcher. That's a head scratcher. And the players back in 2011 had 60% of the pie, and they gave back 13% for things that we don't need to get into. Howard, okay, so let me see from a fan's perspective.
Well, how about this? Let's get to your fan perspective. Let's get to Ted Johnson, the fan. We've heard from Ted Johnson, the player, and a former player representative, 10 years in the NFL. How about Ted Johnson, the fan? And how about you guys, the fan? 617-779-0985. You like a 17-game schedule? You like an extra playoff game? Couple extra playoff games on Wild Card Weekend? Again, 617-779-0985. We'll get to you next.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt. You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You could have over $5 billion shifted in the players' favor. There's also changes in terms of increased minimum salaries. There is more money in the performance-based pay pool. There are some changes to the training camp work rules. The question for players remains, Is it enough for them to accept 17 games? And I can tell you this, there remains a faction of the NFLPA's Board of Representatives, the 32 reps representing the 32 teams that are committed, I'm told, to voting no on this deal in its current form. They're very cognizant on how the shift to 17 games would impact future generations of players, because once you add a game, you're not going to start subtracting games. The way that the NFLPA's constitution works, you need two-thirds of the board to vote yes in order to pass along a proposed CBA to the full group of players. That means that you only need 11 no votes to block that deal. There are going to be some very interesting conversations that take place when the Board of Representatives gets on a conference call tomorrow to discuss this proposal.
So that's Tom Pelissero, ESPN from today, Tom, that just dropped. So they have a conference call tomorrow. Okay, good. I've been shocked. We were actually just talking about this in the break. It's funny that Pelissero audio just came out. Because I just asked Ted, and I was asking Tom, and, you know, Sarge and Kevin and everybody else. We're kicking around the idea of, like, what is out there and available for the players to ask for, what they could chase down. And have you heard anything about what the players want beyond just a larger piece of the pie? And we're all like, no, I haven't seen that. And Pelissero didn't tick off much there. He did bring up one of the fears that we have, which is, as you said, Ted, it's a slippery slope. You put in 17, you better believe 18's coming, because they're not going to stay on an odd number. Makes no sense they're going to stay on an odd number. It doesn't make sense from a scheduling standpoint. It doesn't make sense from, like, and I've heard Mike and Tony talk about this, you can play, like, your odd one-off games overseas. You can play an odd one-off game, you know, I don't know if they could ever get a game at, like, Fenway Park or something like that, but, like, your different venues or your college venues or whatever. That might work for a while, but that's not a long-term viable business strategy. They're going to have to go to 18 games. What else could the players ask for? What else could they realistically get? What do they want? And they have a conference call tomorrow. Okay, that's interesting. They have a conference call tomorrow, and it's only going to take 11 of those player reps to vote it down. I don't know that they're going to get 11 of those guys to do it, but maybe, just maybe, the positive reporting from Schefter, and we acknowledged this earlier in the show, because I was talking very definitively, I'm like, it sounds like it's going to happen, it sounds like it's going to happen. Ted, you were like, no, I don't think the players will agree to it by March 18th. I'd be stunned if they agreed to it by March 18th. You know, maybe that was a flowery report put out by, you know, league Dubois there, Adam Schefter, putting it out. He's like, Schefter had a tweet last night that I read where I was like, oh my God. Carry more water if you could, Schefter, for the NFL. He's
so,
like,
transparent.
Could you imagine an extra wild card game, an extra game on Saturday and Sunday? Football, woo!
Like, it was like such a joke of a tweet that, like, you know, the owners were rubbing his belly after he tweeted it out for him. So, like, maybe that was too much from the owner's side, and maybe the players will get more pushback. You've been saying all day you'd be shocked if it happened by March 18th, so maybe that's the first little sign from Pelissero there that they might give some pushback before March 18th.
Yeah, it would be shocking to me. I think that has been an issue extending the season that has been, you know what, it's almost been, as far as how my experience when I was a player rep for six seasons, three terms, back when I played, that was almost – like, you know what's a non-starter with the NFL owners? It's almost a non-starter. And every year at our annual NFLPA meeting, somebody brings it up, and we always ask, and I'll never forget, the old head of our union, why is his name escaping?
Gene Upshaw,
hello. He would always say, it's not going to happen. He would shoot it down every time.
Guaranteed contracts. That's got to be if I were a player, that would have to be the biggest thing.
Okay, so a non-starter for us was – making the season longer. That's a non-starter for us. A non-starter for the NFL owners, no guaranteed contracts.
So if we're going to give up our non-starter, you should give up yours.
Thank you. So
doesn't sound like that's going to happen, but that would be fair.
Right.
Again, NFL owners are not fair.
That's exactly right.
You don't get rich. You don't become billionaires by being fair. You use up whatever you can and make the best deal for yourself, and that's how you do it.
My feeling is the rank and file, again, the 32 player representatives, if they talk to their players, they do not want to extend the season for even a 1.5 raise in salary, at least it's going into the total pie. But the executive committee and D'Amore Smith, the head of the union, I have always gotten the feeling they will tend to side with what the NFL wants, and they don't necessarily have the player's best interest in mind.
You said earlier, so some of those guys have eyes on working for the NFL.
Yes.
Troy Vincent, how do you refer to him
turncoat,
again?
Turncoat.
As a turncoat.
Turncoat. And, you know, Jeff Saturday, turncoat. Where these guys
well,
really...
Well, at least he doesn't work for the league yet. Troy Vincent actually, went to the league side.
You know, but he works at ESPN, and he might as well be, like, an Adam Schefter mouthpiece for the NFL, okay? And so that's how I view him. And so a lot of these guys want to, I think, you know, and they these owners come to him, hey, can you convince your guys? And, hey, you know, you're this, and you'd be the... And they all kind of like, oh, you know, I think they're just... They don't necessarily have the player's best interest in mind. And a lot of times, so there's a lot of politicking going on today. There's a lot of executive committee members calling the rank and file saying, hey, let's, you know, this is...
Get your guys in line.
Get your guys in line.
Yeah.
And vote the, you know, vote to increase it because, hey, it's a lot of money in our pockets. And it's like, I would be like, you're kidding me, right?
You got to count votes. Go count votes. Get your guy. Hey, what's it going to take to get you to this side? Yep. Go count your votes. Get your votes. Get it in order. Yep. And I'd imagine the owners are more organized with that than the players.
And there's
I would imagine the owners have their ducks in a row more than the players, which is unfortunate, but
that's the biggest problem. We're just too unorganized. There's too much turnover. There's new reps all the time. There's not continuity. We all kind of we're disconnected. We're not together like NFL owners are, and they feast on it. NFL owners feast on the fact that we are not all together and not really on the same page a lot of times, more times than not.
So we heard from Ted Johnson, the player. Ted Johnson, the fan, how do you feel about this proposal that sounds like, and again, maybe it's too flowery from the owner's side. Maybe Schefter is making it, you know, too pro-owner, and maybe the players will push back more than I said. But let's say 17 games happens and 7 playoff teams, 1 in each conference happens. How do you feel about that as a fan?
As a fan, it's too much. And what makes the NFL, I think, of a great quality, the numbers are perfect. 6, I like that 2 teams get bye weeks. I think that's more fair. The 2 teams get bye weeks. I love the numbers, 12 teams and a 32-team league. I don't want it to become the NBA. I don't. I want to scream sometimes when I hear, yeah, they're the 8th seed in the playoffs in the NBA. They suck. I mean, the 8th seed, at least in the Eastern Conference for more times than not recently, is not a good team, and, you know, even in the West.
Yeah.
I hate the NBA playoffs. Those first rounds are a joke.
Well, and don't forget the slippery slope we were talking about with the expanded schedule. They're not going to stay with 17 forever. They're probably going to go to 18.
Right.
Well, they're probably not going to stay with 7 playoff teams either. They're probably going to go to 8.
Right.
So water that down even more. They're ready to water all of it down.
That's right. It's just too much. I mean,
So now instead of one crappy team getting in, again, take your pick in the AFC. Did you like Duck Hodges with the Steelers, or did you like Jared Goff with the Rams? Which team did you want to see in the playoffs last year? We'll add another one a few years down the line in the next CBA.
Do you know how non-compelling, how much of a disappointment, you know, wild card weekend would be to see a 2-seed playing a 7-seed in the NFL?
You need to see Mahomes dump all over Duck Hodges?
No!
I don't need to see that. Personally, I don't need to see that. I know it's an added football game, but personally, I don't need to see
that. And if you're a number 2 seed in these playoffs, there's a good chance, and I can speak from experience because I was on teams that were 2-seeded in the playoffs, there's a good chance you're good enough to make the Super Bowl and win the whole thing. If you add an extra game for those number 2 seeds with this new format, your chances of winning the whole thing, I think, decrease because it's an extra game, an extra chance to get hurt, an extra for injuries and guys getting hurt. And I just think it's a much harder road for those 2 seeds.
I asked you this before. Yeah, 2001 is a great example. You guys were the 2 seed. You win the Super Bowl without the bye.
We were a good team and we were hot at the end of the season. You add us an extra game. I mean, let's face it. We barely got away with beating the Oakland Raiders, you know? I mean, so that was a tough game. I just don't think that 0-1 team, I can sit here and definitively say we would still win the Super Bowl even if we had to play in a wild card weekend.
I'll tell you who should like the new CBA proposal. I think both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick should like it. For Tom Brady, I think it opens up his options even more. And I know Greg Bedard reported that, you know, if the CBA goes into effect by the new league year, they can get rid of some accounting loopholes, which could increase the likelihood of Brady coming back to New England. I just think it's easier for him to go to the Chargers or the Raiders or the Titans if you know there's an extra playoff spot to get in. Because Tom Brady, I don't think, wants to go somewhere and miss the playoffs. That's not a great look for him. So it increases the likelihood he leaves, and I think it's better for Brady. More options is always a good thing. For Bill, not only does Bill get an extra week every year, which could mean an extra potential win every year to pass Don Shula that much quicker. You know, if he's going to coach for 5 more years, well, there's 5 more games he could win. Tack that onto the list, right? It's easier to get there. Not only that, if Tom leaves, it's easier for Bill to make the playoffs. oh, last year I couldn't get in as a 9-7 team or an 8-8 team, but maybe with Jarrett Stidham we can go 8-8 and sneak into the playoffs at the 7 seed. That this would be good for both Bill and Tom, I think. Both of them should like this new proposal. I don't know if it's good for the rank and file of the players in the NFL. I don't think it is, and I don't know if it's good for most coaches, but for Bill and Tom, actually, I do think it's good for most coaches. But for Bill and Tom, I think it's great. They should both like this.
Yeah, Bill probably loves it. I can see Bill absolutely loving it. You know, and for reasons that you've explained, Tom, yeah, okay, yeah, I could see that. I don't think he's going to pick a team in this offseason that is a fringe team. I think the Titans are not necessarily in the same category as the Raiders and the Chargers. I think there are, like, obviously, they made it to the AFC Championship. But I think Bill would absolutely love it. The only thing is, I think it's a more compelling kind of product to watch when you have teams playing to get a number two seed to
right.
get a bye.
I totally agree.
To get that seventh team, that it's 7-9 team, that team that's 500 in as the seventh team in the playoffs.
I don't even know if it's more compelling, but like while you're adding one playoff race, you're taking another one away. Last year, Week 17 would not be a thing. The Patriots-Dolphins wouldn't have mattered.
You're right.
Because the Patriots would have already been playing on the wild card weekend. The Chiefs needing to win that game to get the bye, none of that would have mattered Week 17. So, yeah, you create another race at the bottom, and people can argue that's more compelling. Bare minimum, it's a wash. You add one race, and you take away another. So, to me, that you're not gaining as much as they're leading you to believe you're gaining, no matter what Adam Schefter tells you. 617-779-0985. We'll continue.
Do I sound clear on that?
Good boy, Adam. Good boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. $5 billion for the players. Good boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Extra wild card game. Yeah.
Do I sound firm on that?
Yeah, another treat for you. Good boy. Meanwhile, I do want to get to another TED Talk here. We've already had one. We might as well get to a second TED Talk. I know he's got a lot that he wants to get to. We will do that after Hub Headlines here from another good boy, Sarge.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, 1:39 here on the Sports Hub. I was about to say 11:39. 1:39.
Yeah, don't cheat us now.
Yeah, I should
put in some good work already.
About 20 minutes away from Felgram as they take over at the top of the hour. I'm sure they'll have more on this. By the way, what was the stat you just read me off the bottom line there, Ted?
The last time a team has won the Super Bowl without having a bye going into the playoffs is the 2012 Baltimore Ravens.
Last time a team without a bye won the Super Bowl. So, you know, get ready for that. You know, now how advantageous is that number one seed? Or who knows, maybe that'll clean it up. Maybe it'll make it less predictable. I mean, maybe that'll end up being a good thing. But by and large, I do think it's bad for the fans.
I think it makes it more predictable. I really do. That's how advantageous that bye is. It's just so you only have one team from each conference getting a bye. All right, my guess is way more times than not, it's going to be the number one seeds meeting in the Super Bowl.
And under, as Sarge has said, under Bill Belichick, Patriots have had the number two seed 6 times. They've won the Super Bowl 3 times from there, including you were there, 01 and 04.
Yep.
And it probably didn't matter where you guys started in 04. And then 2018, I'd imagine that bye was key for the 2018 team, since you know they kind of reworked their whole offense on that bye week. 617-779-0985. However, we talked a lot about the CBA. We talked a lot about the schedule and the added playoff team. Let's get to what the people want. Another TED Talk. I like it. It sounds, it's big, it's weighty. Whatever he's about to say, it's important. So
you're going to want to listen.
What else is piled up there, Tim? Right, what else is bothering you?
I got a couple topics I want to hit here, and I will, this first one to me is I can't get enough, Adam. I put this in the email to you guys. I can't get enough of the Tom Brady free agent talk. I find it to be fascinating and one of the best storylines for just, I think, you know, in all of the NFL, not just for as if you're a Patriots fan, but the one place. So I'm going to tell you the one place I think he's going. I have no inside information on this, but the one place that makes the most sense, and when you really think about it, the only place I can see him really going, because there's just too many things that line up to, I think, what Tom wants at this point in his career, is the Tennessee Titans.
Okay? Oh,
the Tennessee Titans. All right?
Okay.
And that's obviously, I'm not pulling a franchise out of the hat that is just, you know, nobody's talking about. A lot of people are talking about that maybe being a real chance that he goes there. And here are the reasons why. You know what? If he goes to the Titans, he has what with Mike Vrabel? He has a partnership, okay? He has a guy that is aligned with him that wants the same things that he can, you know, that he can be a partner with. Okay,
how so?
You know what? I think they will see. You know, here's the thing about coach and player is one obviously has the power, the other one doesn't. They'll be equals. They will be aligned together. Mike won't treat him like he is less than. He will see him as an equal.
So does that mean personnel? Does that mean
that leads to my other points
with Brady's scheduling?
He will get the personnel. He gets to make personnel decisions that he doesn't get to make here. He will be influencing the roster. Peyton Manning goes to the Denver Broncos. Okay, Peyton Manning had decision power over the roster when he got there. He brought in his guys. Okay,
yep.
And I think that would be very appealing to Tom, and Mike would give him that kind of a power and that kind of authority. I think he will get the quote unquote respect that he wants, particularly from the one person that is most important. Tom gets the respect and the love and adoration from the owner, from the fans, from the players. He doesn't get it from the one guy he covets it the most from. That's Bill Belichick.
No.
Oh, yeah, he can't get that. Can't get those game balls, man. I'm telling you. Ted, you know, he doesn't care about game balls. Yes, he does. He does, man.
Love me, Dada.
Yeah, please. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the dad, the disapproving father.
Yep.
The guy, you know, the dad that will never give you the approval you want. And that's what he wants. He would get that from Mike if he goes to Tennessee. And then also he gets what I think is very important, because it ties into respect, is money. He will get whatever he wants. Malcolm Butler got paid. Deion Lewis got paid. Mike will pay him whatever he wants. He'll get multiple years. He will get guarantees by going there. And you know what he's going to do? It's going to be a more relaxed, fun. There's that word.
Yep.
Working environment more than it's ever been in the past for him. And I think that's what he wants to. He wants to just feel relaxed and not the pressure, that he gets working for the Patriots.
So he gets more money, yep. Relaxed environment. Whether that means, you know, more time off, more downtime, skipping out on OTAs, I don't know. He gets the respect of Mike Vrabel and some say in personnel. Yep. And oh, by the way, you left this out. He goes to a better team. Last year,
yes.
The Tennessee Titans were a better team than the Patriots. How do I know? They came to New England and kick your ass and then went to the AFC Championship game. So Andy gets to go to a better team. Okay, that's a pretty good deal. I know you have another point on this, Ted. If Tom Brady leaves Tennessee or wherever, you have a guy that you like as a Tom Brady replacement.
I do. All right.
And not to say that he's Tom Brady, but like you think you have a logical next option.
That's it.
Who is it?
I would say that, to me, the most obvious choice is probably – so you look at – I'm thinking of who's a quarterback out there that is kind of works his way methodically down the field, doesn't have a big, strong arm. This isn't an offense that's predicated on the deep ball. It's death by a thousand paper cuts type of offense.
Andy Dalton?
You'd be wrong.
Oh, okay? Come on. I thought you were going with the red rifle.
Nope. And, don't turn the ball over. Make smart decisions. Just kind of,
that doesn't sound like
be
Andy
a
Dalton.
Game manager. Yeah. The one guy that seems obvious. Now, people are saying he's going to be asking for maybe $20 million a year. I don't see it. That's Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater.
Ugh.
Yeah, it doesn't. I know it doesn't get
that's
you
your
that
guy?
Excited. Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, I could see for a year or two as kind of a guy that is safe. I think he wants safe. Oh. Andy Dalton's safe, isn't he?
Andy Dalton is probably a little more turnover prone. But yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, you want passes at the line of scrimmage? Teddy Bridgewater will do that. He'll be Matt Castle in 2008.
Yeah, but does this offense?
Horizontal passes at the line of scrimmage? Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater will do that all day.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to see him stretch the field. The ball's not going past 10 yards.
Stretch the field? He's 10 yards. He's not throwing 5 yards down the field.
Hey, Josh McDaniels is horizontal screen game, horizontal game, bubble screen, slants, hitches. You know, so that's to me, and there's a relationship Sean Payton has with Bill Belichick. I can see Sean Payton, signing off on that. Hey, we love him here. You'll love him there. And so to me, I can see Teddy Bridgewater being the next quarterback here, at least signed and brought in as a free agent to compete with Jared Stidham.
Do you like the veteran quarterback idea? Do you like the idea? I know you like Bridgewater. Or would you prefer the idea of bringing in another young quarterback through the draft to compete with Stidham? Because that's the model I like. I don't like the young veteran Bridgewater, the old washed up veteran Phillip Rivers, or something in between. I like the idea of another young quarterback, whether they draft him where they stand or move up to go get him to compete with Stidham.
I know
that's what I like. That's what I like and would like to see them do.
I would too. I would way rather see that. From a fan standpoint, I think I would way rather see that, because you know what? I'm more intrigued by the unknown commodity but than what I am the maybe perhaps known commodity.
Sure.
I think we know what Teddy Bridgewater is at this point.
Yeah, I do. Think, I just told you. He's going to throw out the line of scrimmage for 20 times a game.
We know
yeah.
what Andy Dalton is. I think we know yep. what Blake Bortles is. All these guys that are quote-unquote bridge quarterbacks, look, maybe they can come here and all of a sudden revive or totally be different and be better players than maybe they were these when they get a chance to work with Josh and Bill. I'm not so sure about that. So to me, give me the unknown quantity, the guy that maybe has a high ceiling that you're not really sure about, where Bill can mold him and create, being the best out of him early in the career, as opposed to already having bad habits or a way of thinking that they come here that they're, fighting against, if you will.
Okay. That'll do it for us just about. You can start lining up for Felger and Maz if you want. 617-779-0985. Another full program for them. And we've enjoyed the TED Talks today. More TED Talks tomorrow, I would imagine.
You got eventually. It.
Yep, that's that. Thus concludes your TED Talk.
He needs a voiceover in there. And I'll volunteer to do it.
Oh, you'll do that for tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, Tom.
That'll be
stick around.
Time. Over time.
You
gotta stay after
we
work.
Squeeze that into the Sarge schedule there. We'll wrap things up That's with right. today's takeaways next.
A gift.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they gift.
We need to break news every day.
And they gift.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sarge?
Sorry. All right. Today's takeaway is, I'm looking at Jones there. And I'm like, I get the damn thing. Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today. Call or go online to awaken180weightloss.com. There you go.
That's why you wanted to read that.
Well, they gave it to me to read. So
did they?
Jury's out there.
Did they? Sarge wanted. You read it. You did a very nice job reading it.
Proud endorser of Awaken 180.
You know what? It's a poor carpenter who blames his tools. I should have given you the alert. Earlier.
It's all so good.
That's my fault. Shame on me.
Well, thank you for taking the fall.
It is today's takeaways here. I know. Earlier today, and Ted, you'd be surprised. I like to sing at night periodically, but doesn't always come across so well. And I believe we're going to be reminded of that earlier today. You and I tried to sing, you sang, I thought, quite nicely.
Well, you prompted me to sing, and then you kind of backed out. You were like,
well,
I'll sing
I don't
with
know
you.
About all that. Well, let's go to the tape. Let's hear if I backed out here on Easy Lover.
Easy Lover.
That's all I know.
She's got a hold on you, believe it.
I was back.
She's like no other.
Okay.
Before you know it, you'll be on your knees.
See, I don't even need the bouncing ball, I know.
Easy lover.
Like a heart, but you won't feel it.
I don't know.
I mean,
like no other.
Oh, we kept going.
Before you know it, you...
Wait.
She's the kind of girl you dream of.
That's pretty good. Something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm right around
Close
it.
Enough. That's the thing.
I thought that was pretty good.
Not bad, but you could tell we were both showed a little bit of restraint. You got to really just...
Belt it out.
If you kind of hold back a little bit...
Let's sing something tomorrow. Homework project, Ted. You pick something. We'll sing it tomorrow.
I will pick something.
12 o'clock?
Oh. Oh.
Well, let's pick something else. We can sing Josie.
I don't know what it is. Is that a Friday at Noon song? Yeah, there's noon. Something about that song. Let's sing
Josie. Okay. Ted. Let's really cut loose.
Right. Teddy Yoki.
Let's really cut loose.
I'm going to sell out. I'm not going to be worried about what people think of me.
Rest your vocal cords tonight. Don't do too much talking tonight. Rest your vocal cords.
You got it, pal.
Make sure those are ready to go for Josie tomorrow at noon. I've not heard this yet. Apparently David Ortiz because the Red Sox need all the PR help they can get. So they're like, let's roll out David Ortiz and see if we can win some people over. So they have David Ortiz, I guess, doing his best Adam Schefter and talking up the trade, best I can understand. Let's hear from Ortiz.
Unfortunately, this game is not just a game, it's business. Mookie situation, it's hard to get rid of someone like him, someone like David Price, what they bring to the table. This is more than enough, but in the business side, we also know that Mookie, going to be a guy that's going to get a deal close to what Mike Trout has. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen at some point. So I guess that's the difference between having him here and having him going to L.A., you know, and we all understand that. And I know fans are hurting a little bit because, you know, you let a franchise player go somewhere else, but that's the tricky part about baseball. You know, you fall in love with players and the business side of it sometimes don't allow the team to keep up with them. And it's always the one time where you have to say goodbye, like the organization say to Mookie and David Price, but it's our guys that they did what they were supposed to while they were here, you know, and fans always gonna appreciate that. And us as an organization, we're gonna appreciate the same, we're gonna be the same way. You know, just always wishing them the best and don't stop the train.
Okay, so did anybody,
that happened fast.
Did anybody follow up and ask David Ortiz, did anybody bother following up with David Ortiz about, hey, David, how would you feel if they said, ah, you're not worth this contract or that contract?
No, I haven't heard that.
Storm into the middle of Terry Francona's press conference and bitch about missing out on an RBI and how that was going to cost him on the open market. Did anybody ask him that?
I'm telling you, it happens fast, man. It happens fast.
I'm surprised. David Ortiz.
They go to the other side quick.
Oh, my God. David Ortiz had all his ownership talking points except Nomar. Right. I thought Ortiz was going to bring up Nomar there. He's like, well, you know, we had to trade Nomar, and we came out of that okay.
He didn't want to make it too
obvious.
Oh, my
God. He was one step away from that.
Yeah.
Do I sound firm on that?
That's what happens to guys.
He sounds Schefter-esque.
A little bit. He's towing the company line.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh boy, can you imagine an extra wild card game and what that'll mean for football fans? Woo!
Yep.
Oh, can you imagine? Well, you know, he wants to be paid like Mike Trout, and he's not Mike Trout. So, okay, what do you want him to do? Yeah. David Ortiz channeling his inner Adam Schefter.
You're right, though. As a player, he would be BS about that. He would be calling.
Oh my God,
he'd be calling out the team.
Him. Most players would be, but like especially him.
Yeah.
No
question, man.
That's what he was this whole time while he was here. But there you go. Good job by the Reds. Probably the first good PR move they've made. Get David Ortiz out there and do our talking points for us.
Should have put him up there on Monday.
Yeah,
of the owners.
Right. Exactly. Right. We suck at this. Let's put David. People actually like David Ortiz. Let's put him out there. Maybe we'll curry some favor.
Fair point, man.
Ted, we'll talk tomorrow. More Ted Talks.
You got it, buddy.
Rest those vocal cords. We're singing.
Sounds good.
Felger and Maz, come your way next here on the Sports Hub.